Blog Talk Radio.
I gotta hook my hose up. I'll be right back. Sister Phyllis, what's that hymn or the song?
Which song?
I forgot the last word, but it's give me some of that old time
religion.
Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me.
I don't know anything special about it, honey, except I've always sung it like that.
Well, you know, it was good for old King James when he wrote the Bible for us. It was good for the Hebrew children. They
yeah.
were in the fiery furnace. It was good for Paul and Silas in the jail. But now I'm going to turn it into a rap song, so people might not like that. You don't know unless you try it, Pastor. Oh, my, my, my.
Oh, my.
I got lots of juice. Wait a minute. Slow down. Close. Open. I thought I gave you one of those battery rejuvenators for your phone. You did. Okay, they do have a new product. It's a... All right. What do they call it? A solar powered.
Uh-oh.
151.
Oh, no.
Let's see uh-oh about. Don't worry. Be happy.
I just... expand the screen
and your
computer screen just disappeared. Okay, there it's back. I don't know how, but thank you, Lord. Okay, so I'm just going to share this screen. Share. Oh, we don't have sound, do we? Why do we not have... Oh, I have it turned off.
Take your time. No need to rush.
Can you guys hear this at all?
There you go.
All right.
I haven't gone to school for lip reading yet. I'm making it funny.
Well, I didn't even hear what you said, Roger. I'm sorry. Oh, you didn't go to school for that? Is that what you said?
No, I said I hadn't gone to school yet for lip reading.
Oh. Thank
you. Okay, so right down underneath the Kenneth Copeland emblem in the bottom of that screen,
forever.
Just click in there somewhere and you'll see it.
I'll see what
he worships.
The volume
the
right there.
School.
I have that volume all the way up.
And
they can't hear
we're
it.
We're worshiping
so
the forever.
They won't worship something.
So I was going to put it on the little speaker
on
my phone.
Okay.
Is that what I need to do?
That's what you need to do. Then you'll have
pretty
to mute
cool.
that.
Would climb the highest peak he can find.
And use the speaker off the phone.
And what he calls,
can I not just put this speaker
the
on the computer speaker?
No. He worships the forever spirit. Just like you were listening in the car. Put the speaker
we're worshiping the forever spirit.
And then sit the speaker right by the computer. Mm-hmm. I got my volume on my cell phone all the way up.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. The forever spirit lives within us.
It is our God.
And it's the spirit of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And I'm reminded, Lord Jesus.
The forever spirit lives within us.
I can hear it now. You got a video on the computer.
And it's the spirit of Jesus.
Yep, just like that. Perfect.
And I'm reminded, Lord Jesus, in that precious, precious few moments. The final Seder meal of the first covenant. In the 14th chapter, in the writings of John. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The words that I speak unto you, they are not my own. For it is the Father that dwells within me. He does the works. It's the same one dwelling in us tonight. And he is still doing the work. So somebody shout amen.
Do you need me to stop?
You don't mind that?
What?
All right, let's see.
Were you still trying to talk to me?
I've got to have breakfast at 74 jobs. Keep the suitor, the Campbell, and the guest lab. What? I better look at these.
Are you talking to us? Love? Sam, how do I turn you off?
Four. 7, 8.
Okay, Phyllis and Roger, could you hear the convention when I had it on, and can you hear Pastor talking right now? Sam, can you, okay, Phyllis and Roger, could you hear the convention when I had it on?
What one comes back here?
Hold on. Okay, I can't hear you.
I don't hear the convention. I hear you.
Okay.
Sam.
I know, and I don't know how to turn him off. He's talking
to
somebody.
Went to the Blackbird.
He's talking to somebody else, apparently. Oh, my goodness sakes. Okay, when I had the convention on, could you guys hear it?
Yes, real clear.
Okay.
On my end, I hear it very, very, very low.
Okay.
I hear you loud and clear, along with Pastor Sam.
Okay. Yeah, and I don't know how to... He's talking through his computer on the phone, and I don't know how to turn him off. Okay, I'll text him. We can hear.
That's okay. We'll eavesdrop for a little while.
Computer, and I can't.
I'll just go do that. Let me get the stuff.
get you turned off. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Here
what
we
was that squeal?
Huh?
What was that squeal I just heard?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'll make another funny smile. You're on candid camera.
Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Roger.
Well, while he's straightening all that out, I'm going to get me another cup of coffee. I'll be right back.
All right. God bless your little heart, sir.
You know, that's an old hillbilly saying.
What?
When you say, bless your heart.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I was listening to a person that was explaining all that down south phrases.
Uh-huh.
And that's not a good thing to say when you say bless your heart.
Really?
That means you're stupid. Yep, that means you're stupid.
Oh, my goodness. Whoops.
So don't say that south of Mason-Dixon line.
I guess. Okay,
you could be
here we
lot
go.
Miss Pelosi is watching.
Just might go ahead and tell you the wrong direction by saying
instead of maybe she had to go to Thailand to find us.
It really gets you lost.
Yeah.
Well, we pray for her. Praise God.
Yes.
Trinidad and Tobago, Turkey, Turks and Cayucos Islands. I'm hope I'm pronouncing that one right. U.S. Virgin Islands, Uganda, Ukraine, United Arab Emirates. Now, the people in United Arab Emirates, in fact, aren't you here tonight? Now, I know this seems like a cool wave here to you. It's only 104, 105. What does your temperature get there? Well, yeah. So they came here to cool down. Most of the activity there, of course, is at night. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. United Kingdom, Uruguay, Vanuatu, Venezuela, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and, of course, the United States. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 5,030 have registered. And we still need, and last night, Washington, D.C. was included, so we still need North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming. Now, I have the great privilege of preaching in Fargo.
Oh, we were there.
That was named after Mr. Fargo of Wells Fargo. Now, you know, I'm a country TV fan. And there's the old Western with Dale Robertson, The Tales of Wells Fargo. And so his character's name is Jim Hardy. Well, I really like to watch that. So anyway, the Wells Fargo Bank, excuse me, sent me a debit card. Well, I didn't ask for a debit card. So Gloria's sister, Jan, excuse me, is our comptroller and so forth. She called me. And she said, I called and asked them, but they won't talk to anybody but you. And I said, okay. And this young woman came on and she gave me her name. And she said, this is Mr. Copeland. I said, yes. She gave me her name. I said, is Jim Hardy there? She said, I don't believe we have anyone here by that name. I said, well, I think he's a special investigator for... Well, hard. And then I was about to crack up. I couldn't hold on to it. I said, no, that's Dale Robertson's character on the Tales of Wells Fargo. She said, my granddaddy used to watch that all the time. Glory to God. So, how exciting. Total countries registered. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to read these and you're going to stand up. Oh, listen, North Dakota. Somebody here from North Dakota?
North Dakota.
Did you mean that or are you just off? Someone here from North Dakota, get a registration card. Who was it? Go wee again so they can find you. South Dakota. Wyoming. All right, they'll be here. Total U.S. territories, Armed Forces America, Northern Mariana Islands, Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, Australia, all of you from Australia, stand up, please, and remain standing. Barbados. And now Belize is here tonight. Glory to God. Brazil, Canada, Hungary, Ivory Coast, Kenya, Nigeria, Peru, Russia, Singapore, South Africa, United Arab Emirates, United Kingdom, United States of America, and Zimbabwe. Glory to God. Come on, give them a shout and an amen. Come all that way to go to church. But that's what excites me, 614,568 online. And this is only Wednesday. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody give me a singing microphone. Anybody, I'll take anybody. Thank you, David. Jesus is on the way. Every day, there are certain things that I say continually. Every day is one day closer to the resurrection. Every day is my receiving day. Yesterday's gone, but today is my receiving day. Every day is closer to Gloria and my anniversary. And I celebrate it every day. And I talk to her about it. I just keep track of the days. And last April, I ordered 60 red roses with one yellow one in the middle. She said, what's that yellow one in the middle? I said, that's 61. Because I'm living to the day that I can celebrate our anniversary again. And every day is one more day to serve the Lord Jesus. There's coming a day, very soon it will be, the voice of God will be calling me. I'll walk the streets of glory. I'm going home. The horn will blow. The angel will cry. the Father's love will fill the skies. I'll see the face of Jesus. I'm going home. And until then, I'll go on singing until then with joy. Savior, until the day I'm going home. Sing it with me, but until then, we'll go on singing. Until then, with joy, we'll carry on. Until the day our eyes behold that city. Oh, until the day we're going. Now get a deep breath now. Tonight sometime. Oh, you know, you get Gloria talking about that, and she just, she'd be in healing school or something, she get over on that, and she just loses all of her thought about everything else. And she said, oh yeah, she said, I just keep telling Ken, I don't want to die first. I don't want to do that. I want to be there. I want to be standing there. And whoosh, so you just hear that horn and beep, 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 and you're gone. Just zip. Yeah. Amen. That's the big one. That horn blows. This time last year, Phil Driscoll, where are you? Oh, yeah. This time last year, healing school. And the anointing of God came on me. Come on up here, Bill. And Jesse, come on out here. Where are you, Jesse? Come on out here. My man, Jesse. We're taking your time up. You might as well be out here where people can see you. Now, Jesse, during the healing school, I called out lungs. I said, lungs. Lungs. I don't know where this is, COVID or what it is. It's lungs. It's lungs. And it came up inside me. That's Phil Driscoll. And I said, okay. and lungs. And I went back over there to the hotel just quick as I could. And I sat down there and I looked up my phone. I looked up his number and I called it. Well, you know, hello. And I thought, I don't have Darlene's number. What am I going to do? I said, Lord, help me. And he called me.
That's something. My Lord.
You were in the hospital.
I was. 2 days.
Holy Ghost.
And so, of course, I go home Saturday nights, you know, since I'm here in town. So the next morning, I went in the sunroom, you know, it's Sunday morning, and I still got my pajamas and my robe on. And Gloria was sitting there, and Bebe was sitting there, and my phone rang again. And this time it was Darlene. She, oh, Brother Copeland, I thought, I hope he hadn't died. She said, oh, Brother Copeland, the doctor came in and said we didn't think this man was going to go home alive, and they came in here this morning and they released him. We're going home today. Hallelujah, Lord.
And it didn't damage his lungs.
Here, you tell that boy.
No, they're stronger than ever.
And have a blessing of God.
Well, and now Phil practices every day. How long were you in that hospital? A couple of weeks?
8 days.
8 days.
It was a fight to get me to not take the ventilator.
Huh?
They wanted me to take the ventilator, and it became a fight. They said, what are you going to do? You mean if you're going to die? I said, I'm not going to die. I'm going to live.
Hallelujah. And without practice for 8 days and without full lung capacity while he was in there, because that synthetic virus was engineered to crystallize the lungs, and one doctor in Germany finally broke the rules and did an autopsy. That thing was, we finally got into chemical warfare aimed at the United States. Anyway,
well, you know, can I say something?
And he said he didn't miss those 8 days of practice, and his lung capacity was strong as it ever been. And like he just said now, he's stronger.
You know, I didn't know anything about the COVID when it started. I went to Honolulu, and I was preaching for Art and Kona Sepulveda. You preached when you probably played. Make a long story short, I never heard anything. So they said, we want to meet all these pastors from China, and they were all from Wuhan. And they were hugging on me, and I got home about a week and a half later, and I tell you, I come up with a cough. But nobody knew much about it. They felt like glue. I just couldn't get it. And, of course, we didn't know anything about the COVID thing. But I've learned one thing about Kenneth Cope. If God gives him a word, your lungs will get healed or your boots will die. That's exactly right. You're right.
That's right.
he killed my boots. And you know, Kenneth, that was Arnold Schwarzenegger, boo. You killed the Terminator.
Okay, now that we have the trumpet, we have the horn will go.
People say, oh, good, good. I don't know where I'm going to get out your way.
There is coming a day, very soon it will be, the voice of God will be calling me. I'll walk the streets of glory, I'm going home. The horn will blow. And blow, and blow,
angel will cry. The Father's love will fill the sky. We'll see the face of Jesus. We're going home. And until then, we'll go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day our eyes behold our Jesus. Until the day we're going home. Oh, somebody give the Lord praise tonight. Glory to God forevermore. Jesse. Yeah.
That's it.
Yes,
what you want me to do? You the man, you tell me. Well, sit down a minute.
They were standing up for me, Jacob. I kind of liked it.
Well, don't cry, Jesse. I get them up again.
It's a joke. It's just a, okay.
Now, on that same trip where his boots ran into me,
you killed my boots. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole soul just flopped off.
But yeah, had, but you got them back in better shape than
you resurrected
came.
Them yes, again.
No, that repairman did, because he's one of your partners.
I was so shocked when I got those. I said, what? And I couldn't get a hold of you that day. I was trying to call you. I said, because I had thrown them in your garbage can, you know.
Yeah,
you know, when a prophet curse something, you don't take it home.
We were all going up in the mountains from Steamboat Springs. And I don't know where that trailer came from that you were supposed to be pulling behind your motorcycle.
The one that you was on my lights?
Well,
I pulled Jerry's one time.
Well, anyway, whichever trailer it was. Well, I got out there and I hooked it onto the back of his motorcycle and the taillights didn't work like they're supposed to. And so I crawled up onto that trailer and the wiring had been patched and it was broken.
Yep.
And being up there in the mountains, I kept all that kind of stuff. And so I got in there and got a whole roll of wire and laid it all out there and cut all the lengths and had my, you know, all my wire strippers and everything. I had it all laid out and where it had it just right. So I crawled up onto that trailer and I'm wiring that trailer up. And we're supposed to leave, I think, the next morning.
That's right.
And I'm wiring all the wiring under that trailer and I'm laying in there on my back. And Jerry was standing off over here at the side. And Jesse walked over there and looked under there like, you know.
Let me interrupt you. I said, Jerry, I think I'm going to go talk to him. And Jerry said, don't do it. Don't do it. I said, yeah, well, maybe. You know. He said, and I walked up there and this is what you said.
And I'd been laying under that. I missed lunch underneath that trailer. And Jesse came up there and stuck his head down under there. And I'm on my back. He said, Brother Copeland, I have found that when something is irritating or whatever he said, he said, I just back away. I said, Jesse, why don't you just do that?
And I backed away.
These trips got some. I missed this stuff.
I did too.
I don't even remember where we were. Dennis Burke was there, And I was there, and Jesse was there, and Dennis had already put his motorcycle up. We were there going, locking in for the night.
Right.
He had a gold wing, and I did too. Well, I already found out, don't use that gold wing cover. It's like putting socks on a rooster. Man, you can't hardly do it.
He never told me that. And I did not know that.
He finally got the cover on that thing. And then he said, oh, no. I said, what is it? I left the key in the trunk.
Right.
And then he goes out and digging around on that thing. And he said, I do that every time. I said, well, Jesse, you do that. You say that every time. You will keep doing it every time. He backed off. He said, oh, no, this negative confession is kidding me. And I'm then Dennis fell to his knees. Is Dennis over there in the car?
I mean,
he fell on his knees. I fell down there. We were laughing, and Jesse got tickled. He said, I'm never going to say, I'm not holding my mouth anymore.
Well, you never say that in front of Kenneth Copeland. Your negative confession is killing me. But I tell you what, I was doing everything I can to get to that. I was pulling, my fingernails was coming out of my skin to try to get that thing on there. We had some wonderful times out there.
But I told on you this morning, I think, was about the first time y'all rode up there, and you and Dennis and Jerry, and you stopped in Wichita Falls to eat. You had on Kathy's helmet.
That's right. And that was not my fault.
What can I explain? Let me help myself out here. Cause they just love it. Well, you do something with these guys, they don't forget nothing. They like God, you know. What happened was, we left Jerry's house and it was dark, and Kathy wanted matching helmets. All right, and Kathy got a much smaller head than mine. So anyway, we had him back there, and it was dark, and I looked, but I couldn't see which one because they're the same color. So I put that thing on, we drive it, and all of a sudden. And I'm going, and when I would talk, my lips were up against, and I think Jerry waited for a while because he thought I was speaking in tongues. I wasn't. And finally, Jerry said, there's something wrong with your microphone. And, you know, but we were still driving. Then I think we stopped in Wichita Park. Yeah, and my God, I come walking up there, my head hurting.
It's like this.
And Kathy said, I mean, Jerry goes, you got Kathy's helmet on. You wear girls' helmets?
True story.
And so I finally got my helmet, but I was sore for 2 days. That thing was tight.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jesse the Planner. So
thank you, brother. Thank you. I'll tell you something. This is my 32nd year here at the Southwest Believers Convention. I knew nothing of Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth Hagin. I was a heathen, like Jerry told you. My mother would introduce me, this is my heathen son. I'm serious. I mean, it's just the way it was. And it would make a long story short, I never thought in my entire life that I would preach all this time with Brother Copeland. So I met Kenneth in a elevator. And John Osteen was going to one of those, and he said, hello, I'm Kenneth Copeland. That didn't mean nothing to me. I'm Jesse the Planner. And that's when I first, he came up and preached that night. And I looked, I said, that's that guy in that elevator. Never thinking that we would come together. But I want to say it's an honor to Jerry and to Brother Copeland, you know. I didn't realize how much I needed friends. I had a lot of acquaintances, but very few friends. I mean, on one hand, and I wouldn't run out of fingers, you know. But we began to become friends and go to each other's house and sleep and, I mean, to the point, like, as men, you know, Kenneth would call Jerry and said, ask Carolyn if you can come over and sleep tonight. I'm telling you. Is that right, Jerry? That's right. You know, it was just such a blessing. And they have been, and it's been such a blessing. So we start riding motors. I'm a street boy. You know, I was raised on the streets, and I didn't know. You see, I'm a little taller than Jerry, but Jerry's legs is longer than mine. You know, most of my height comes from my waist up. So when I get on that gold wing, I mean, I'm on my toes. So if you move over, you know, you fall down. and I fell down several times.
Told Catherine to bail out, and here comes Gloria. She goes, well, Jess, everybody has done it. The difference is we've seen you all do it. And they let everybody know, but we had more fun. And people say, what'd y'all do? Talk the gospel? How many days? Every day. Get out there and just preach to each other. People say, why do y'all do that? This uncompromised word of God. I don't know how anybody can get depressed or discouraged or despondent when you understand the word of God, which we preach. And it's been like that ever since. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the honor of receiving tonight's offering for Kenneth Copeland Mission. I want you to listen to me for a minute. I know this ministry backwards and forwards and sideways because I'm on the board of directors of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And we go through, when I say everything, I mean everything. And it's a ministry of such honor, integrity. Money don't sit around, things of that nature. It always has some kind of a project or something going on. I have traveled literally all over the world, and I said this the other day, I'm going to say it again, and I've never been anywhere, and I mean that's not an overstatement, that someone didn't come up to me and say, Brother Jesse, tell Kenneth and Gloria I'm their partner. Now, I've been wanting to go to heaven for quite a while. If we can get this gospel preached to the world, we can get out of here. And then God gave this man to go on every available voice, up, top, bottom, and all the way around. And that's what Kenneth Copeland Ministries is designed to do and is doing. And it's amazing to me. And let me tell you something. This man don't think about how much money it costs to go somewhere. Him and Jerry, they called me up and said, Jesse, you going with us? I think it was Barry Tuff said, we're going to Guadalcanal. I said, you mean like a World War II? Because they got bugs as big as your fist over there. I'm saying, big ones. And they just look at you like, what? So they're nervous, you know. I'm telling you. And we was in a soccer field. And there's no way that those people could afford the expenses of that. We flew over there, preached, and the first altar call, I said this the other day, Brother Copeland said, Jesse, receive an altar, do an altar call, and I did, was 1,000 first-time conversions. I don't know if they can put it up on the screen. That's it. Look at that. That's all first-time conversions right there. Go ahead, give the Lord a hand clap for that. Those people couldn't afford. You know, but he didn't care because, see, that was an available voice. Then one day we had to stop in Cold Bay, Alaska. When they say Cold Bay, that's cold. Saw Arctic fox. When you see an Arctic fox, that's cold. And me and Kenneth, we walked in there, and these people said, ask Michael, when you gonna come preach for us? And I knew it. I said, oh, Lord Jesus. He said, we come. So it wasn't long after, he said, me and Jerry and Kenneth, we went to Cold Bay, Alaska and preached. And I think the biggest crowd, tell me if I'm wrong, Jeff, the biggest crowd we could ever have would be like 120. Because this place is, that's all the people that lived there. But there was a blizzard. So how many showed up? I don't know, 50, 40, something like that. Brother Copeland preached like a house of fire. He didn't care about the money. He didn't care about anything. So what you give, you that are online, 100% of it goes to reach people. And I'm telling you, I see it happening. And we've looked at this ministry all these years and watched how God did such marvelous things. But he's a sower, and Gloria is a sower of seed. Now, they got a great sense of humor, even little Gloria Copeland. She said, are you my friend, Jesse? I said, yeah, Gloria. She said, there's a skunk under my house. Can you get him out? I said, I ain't your friend no more. I ain't going underneath that house with that skunk, man. And Gloria thought it was funny. I didn't think it was funny at all, you know. So I'm going to ask you to give graciously. And when you get to heaven, now don't get mad at the Copelands, because your front yard is going to be full of people who are going to hell, but because of your faithful financial support, Brother Copeland filled that voice, and people came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I have been there. I have seen it. I mean, physically, spiritually, financially, every area. So it's such an honor to receive an offering for this ministry. And me and Kathy are part of it. We're not asking you to do something we don't do neither. We never do that. And God has been so good and gracious. So I'm going to ask you to do your best. Because if we can get this gospel preached to the world, then we can go to heaven. And listen, when we get there, if you think you're going to be laying on the ground and angel dropping grapes in your mouth, that's not going to happen. God is a creator. Things are constantly happening, going on all the time. So I'm going to ask you to do your best in just a minute. I'll be Brother Kurtz going to come up and tell you how
to give, and I mean this sincerely. Think about that. For everything you get, you're going to touch your soul into the kingdom. You're going to get a body healed. You're going to get depression, discouragement, despondency out of people's lives. I've seen it happen so many times. And I mean, I've been physically there. And I never forget when they first told me when I first started preaching, when they said, Jesse, our partners are going to love you, but our enemies are going to hate you. And boy, I got some hate. And I don't forget when I went to Australia, I was on the front news. They said, Kenneth Copeland's sidekick has come to town. That was the front page news. And I was all right because he was Roy Rogers and I was Gabby Hayes. And I didn't mind. Praise the Lord. So, Kurt, would you come and please tell them, and you that are watching online, oh, what a blessing you are when you text or give. It's one of the most amazing things. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. And these offerings, the budget's already met. It's going 100% to the outreaches of this great ministry. So listen to Brother Kurt as he tells you how to give.
Praise the Lord. For those of you here in the sanctuary, just simply raise your hand if you'd like an offering envelope, and one of our ushers will get you an envelope, and you can fill that out. Please fill it out completely. As Brother Jesse mentioned, text to give. It's simple, it's easy, and it's safe. And for the thousands of you that are watching online, literally from all over the world, you can text EVENT, EVENT, to 36609, and the dollar amount. A couple zeros, it all works. Praise God. Online, kcm.org/TV event. For all of you that are watching on the Victory Channel, on the KCM website, on Facebook, thousands upon thousands of you are watching right now. And right in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen, you can just click that link, and you can give safely and securely. And, of course, as we always say, you can call one of our licensed prayer ministers. They're there to pray with you, to agree with you in faith at 877-281-6297. And if you'd like to put your offering in the mail, simply address it to Kenneth Copeland Ministries, or KCM, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. And all the information is going to be on the screen as we worship the Lord tonight with Brother Phil Driscoll. And ushers, when the people are ready to give, feel free to pass the offering buckets. God bless.
I was fresh out of hell, and I walked into this place, and what I heard changed my life forever. I wrote this song about 20 years ago and never recorded it. And about a month ago, I happened to run onto it, and I said I should do it, and I should dedicate it to Brother Copeland. So it's because of you, brother. Here goes. Choosing to live my life from God's point of view. Yes, God, I'm just a man, far below the mark of a common world disease they call hardness of heart. I don't want to be faithless, but faithful like him, who gave his life so I could be destined to win. Come on now. I'm a believer. I choose to live and let die. And I will laugh and not cry. All the believers have a life. I'm a believer. Ooh, and I take my stand. I know that my faith, I cannot live on the believing side of life. Now you have the right to choose if your world is up or down. But if you walk by faith, I know that God will turn your world around. Don't let doubt and fear cause your faith to slide. Just make up your mind to live on the believing side. Cause I'm a believer, woo, I choose to live and I love God. And I will laugh and not cry for now. I'm a believer, solid life. I'm a believer, and I will take my stand. I know my faith, I can't not live. I'm a believer, solid life.
Stand to your feet for a minute,
if you don't mind. Phil Driscoll, I have the same background, Phil, in the rock world, and I just love his voice. He's a mixture of the Holy Ghost and Joe Cocker. You know, you just kind of get his mood. For the Lord, you know, on high. Great stuff. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you ready to hear the word of the Lord? Well, one more time, shake somebody's hand, tell him you love him. And then listen, you be seated and we'll get into this word today. Hey, how you doing? Love you. Love you too. Thank you. I tell you, I just enjoy. I got to eat a little lunch with Jerry and Carolyn today and I've been around my house in a while. I'm just missing them, man. I told him Jerry should have been my brother. And really, I'm telling you, his father was one of the most wonderful men I ever met in my life. And Mr. Sabell. And I saw his years ago, grandbabies grow up, children growing up. What a blessing of the Lord. And he'll be preaching tomorrow night, so you don't want to miss that. What a blessing of the Lord. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, a very famous chapter in the Bible. Matthew chapter 24, and I would say this, and I mean this, you don't need to watch Fox News or ABC or CBS. You just read Matthew 24, you'll get the headlines of what's going on. And I want to talk today about something that... I was going to do something different. The Lord said, I want you to speak this on the night that you preach. And let me give you an example of what I'm about ready to say. Inflation has gone completely out of kilter, they say, since the 80s or higher now. In fact, I was watching it, Fox Business News, and it said it's up 8.6%. Then it went to 9.1%, and I said, well, I can do better than that. So I called my whole staff and gave them a 10% raise all the way across. From America to Australia and all points in between. It was just such a blessing of the Lord. Now, I'm a man, and I don't mean this to sound arrogant, prideful. I'm a very blessed man. God has truly blessed me spiritually, physically, and financially. I know I'm totally different and unique, and not that that's something. It's just that God chose me. What do you want me to do? But anyway, I never, ever fill up my vehicles. I have people that do that for me. And since I've been hanging around with Jerry loves speed. I mean, you ought to see him brush his teeth how fast he can do that. The man loves speed. So I've been to his house many times, and he'd take me around in that little GTO, really looking fine. You know, he took me, he burned and rubbed in 3 gears, you know. And I felt like I was 16 years old again, glory to God, you know. And so I went and I bought me a, people said, what do you drive, Brother Jesse? My truck is 10 years old. So I said, I want something fast like Jerry got. So I got me a 1500 semi-engine RT that don't make it anymore, Dodge Ram. And, you know, Jerry's taught me how to break the law of the land by going real fast. And I was on 310, and I was driving. This is a beautiful, it looks like the day I bought it. It ain't got a scratch on it. I'm serious. People try to buy it all the time. I said, no, not for sale. It's mine. And it's got 10, it's almost 11 years old, and it just turned 30,000 miles. I don't drive a lot, you know. I don't drive a lot, you know, I'm sick of the fly all the time. Make a long story short, I'm driving in this Corvette. I went into the left lane to pass him on the interstate, you know, and he looked at me, and he goes, and I went, man, I guess he read that he's this. I said, he didn't want to dance with me. I became Jerry Sabell. So I said, let's go. And, buddy, when I hit that, I mean, that truck got 428 horsepower. Wham! I smoked that vet. The Lord said, you're breaking the law. I said, but it feels so good. I mean, I got him depressed. I ran it. And then finally I slowed down. He goes, what's in there? And I just said, see you later. Because I could hear cops coming and let them catch him. And let me get out of here. A true story. So, you know, that's my speed story and things of that nature. Well, I was going to my aviation offices, and there's a gas station called Pilot there in New Orleans. I don't know if you've ever seen that before. And I looked down at my gas gauge. I said, I need some gas. So I said, I'm just going to fill it up, you know, that kind of stuff. So I went in there, and it was $5.02 a gallon. Now, without sounding prideful, I can afford that. That's nothing. That's a blip. I don't mean a trifle. But I got frustrated. And I heard other people going, man, I said, what? And I thought, why am I frustrated at this? You know, God has supplied my need. You know, I can go where I want, do what I want, whatever. And the Lord said, the frustration of end times. So I want you to write that down. That's the title of what I'm going to speak about. See, because what's going on today is very frustrating. And what it is Matthew chapter 24. And I want to read, and then I'm going to get into this. It's just a little bit of scripture here. Let me see here. Let me start with verse 36. But of that day and hour, Matthew 24, knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. This is Jesus talking. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's what we're seeing today. Now, if you go on and read like verse 13 and 14, I love Matthew 24, 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Ladies and gentlemen, right now, there's 7.8 billion people on this planet. And because of what Elon Musk did, who put up 156 satellites so we could get internet globally all over the world, and they got cameras on them, we can preach to the whole planet, 7.8 billion people in 7 minutes. Now, think about that, how far that has gone. Now, you know, people say, well, you know, there's earthquakes and hurricanes and, you know, tsunamis. That's the beginning of sorrows. That's been going on since the 1940s. But what we're seeing today is the sins of Noah, where people want to corrupt children's minds at 2 and 3 years old, that you cannot speak, everything's okay, nobody wants to talk about the gospel because of pressure or whatever, And a lot of people hate us because the gospel says you can't do that. And they want to be told that they can do anything at any time. And that's just simply, that's the days of Noah. You see, they see the sin rampant now. So nobody talks about morality. Nothing. Zero. I mean, most people are living together. They don't care about any of that in any way, shape, or form. And it's amazing what we're seeing happening. And they're trying to get to our children now, literally all over the world. And so they can put these ideas in a child's mind and things of that nature. And you know, when you touch a child, you really anger God. I want you to know that. You really do. You don't touch them. He said, you don't touch my kids. Need to be better than a millstone tied around your neck and cast in the sea. You'd hurt one of my little ones. So I see such sin. And now they got pornography and porn stars that are movie stars. And years ago, they wouldn't hardly put somebody in Hollywood. But now that means nothing. Nothing anymore now. And everything is completely legal if you want it to be so. That's the days of Noah. And he said, Jesse, what you're feeling is the frustration of end times. So I want you to write this down, and we'll get to some other scripture in a minute. The friction of unrighteousness is rubbing against righteousness. That's what we feel. That's what I was feeling at that gas station. Not because it was $5.02 a gallon, whatever it was, because I could afford that. That's not the issue. But I was just irritated. I said, why? He said, your righteousness is rubbing against unrighteousness. Now, I want to tell you something. I believe self-righteousness is worse than unrighteousness. Because you're really blind to the fact when you're self-righteous. So the friction of unrighteousness is rubbing against righteousness. People's faith is being undermined. You got churches now serving liquor in the churches.
Yeah, come on.
That's a fact. And I'm just going to say something. When I went to Australia, they told me, I was on live television, you can drink, but you can't get drunk.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, my God, I can't believe this is going on.
Yeah.
You can drink, but you can't get drunk. And there was a lot, about 50 people in the TV studio. This is live television. So they start talking about the wine issue and all that kind of stuff. And there was three pretty famous preachers there in Australia. I won't name them, but I mean, to make a long story short, I'm just sitting there listening. And I kept looking at my watch. I said, we got to go about 7 minutes. They hadn't asked me a question. And I'll just get off, but I'll just say hello. And all of a sudden, the host of it said, Brother Jesse, what do you think about drinking? I said, I don't think about it at all. Then I looked at all three of them and said, what else y'all want to do that the world does? Oh, now it got quiet in that studio. What else y'all want to do that the world does? And they just looked at me. Now, there was the three wives of those preachers. And they were looking at me, and I looked at them, and they went, hey, but just how you doing? You know, when you get older, people treat you nice, you know. Hey, how you doing? You know? I said, hello. And she said, so you don't drink. I said, no, I was delivered from drinking. And I said, I don't do what the world does. Let me show you how people have become callous. You see, this is the frustration of men. It frustrated me that they would even say such a thing. And the guy in the middle said, you just old-fashioned. And I said, old-fashioned. I said, well, y'all can think what you want, but I know in whom I have believed and I'm persuaded. So watch this. They just kind of look at it. They're about ready to blow me off like this. And the Lord said, use the sex thing. I said, Jesus, we on live television. He said, I know you're on. I'm talking to you. I said, well, you tell them. I ain't saying nothing. You don't say that on live television. He said, use the sex thing. So I said, okay. So I said, y'all say you can drink, but you can't get drunk. And they said, that's correct. Now, the three wives were there, to these three men, and the prettiest ones in the middle, which was the host's wife. I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, so you can drink and you can't get drunk. He said, that's right. You can drink. I don't know why you know, that's just an American thing and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that old Pentecostal, blah, 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 this and that. I said, well, what would you do if after this show here, me and your wife, we went back behind that curtain, and we start messing around. Come on, baby, let me touch you. You touch me. Come on. Oh, I saw his red neck. It's starting to get red. I said, my. I said, come on, honey. Woo. And it looked like his wife was kind of enjoying the conversation. I thought, help me out here, lady, for God's sake.
and he's getting mad about a minute, and I know it's about ready to hit me, you know. And I said, come on. And I mean, I said, come on, man. I mean, I said, boy, and I'm doing this with my hands all the time. I just look like that. And I mean, he started to rise up off the chair, and I said, don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at her. We didn't go all the way. We just messed around. And they went. I said, so you can drink, but you can't get drunk.
Come on.
And the host, he stopped. He said, you just changed my theology. I said, listen, I didn't mean that to sound rude. The Lord said to use the sex thing, so get mad at him. I didn't have anything to do it. All I did was repeat what he told me to say. Now, what angered him was my righteousness was rubbing up against his unrighteousness. And it was causing friction. You see what I'm saying? People's faith is being undermined by the COVID, by inflation, by backbiting, by backsliding. I mean, I had a preacher one time, while I was preaching, he told me, he said, you don't have another woman on the side? I said, no, sir. He said, every man need a spare tie. I said, you think a woman's a spare tie, huh? I thought, my God, how far have you? I know of one preacher, bless God. He's got two women pregnant in his church and his wife, and the church don't care. Something is definitely wrong. It's the days of Noah. Now, you got to understand, rain had never happened in during Noah's time. God caused the mist to water the ground, and the aquifers that were under the ground would come up and water the root systems. They never saw that. So for 120 years, Noah preached that judgment was coming. They didn't believe it. They laughed at him. They laughed him to scorn and everything. You see, the COVID thing, you people that still hadn't been back to church, what is wrong with you? What are you afraid of? Well, I might die. Well, then you go to heaven.
Yeah.
But you ever thought that death and life's in the power of your tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof? So what do you love? Because whatever you're running from is what you fear.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So you see the COVID thing, and it was meant by Satan to shut the church down, and what it's done to people that have really preached the uncompromised word of faith, it has made their churches grow beyond what they ever thought they could ask them spiritually, physically, and financially. You see, and then you see the inflation things going on. One man said, well, what do you do with inflation? I said, get inflated. Just get inflated. Just make more money. You ever thought about that? Give God a job.
Yep.
See, so I realized I was angry, not because it was $5.02 a gallon. It was because I thought, why is that? He said, I'm coming sooner than they think.
Mm.
See, so you see sin. So we must be lights in dark places.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to get some persecution, but Percy's not cute, so it doesn't make any difference. Because Jesus is coming. And people say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that don't change it. It's still the truth.
Right.
You know, it's still the truth.
Yeah.
So write this down if you're taking notes. Everything we see is a picture of disappointment, a picture of contempt, a picture of corruption, and a picture of death. That's what's happening right now. That was the days of Noah. God said his own words, man has corrupted himself. Corrupting himself from the inside. Everything we see today is a picture of disappointment, contempt, corruption, and death. If you want organized crime, go to Washington, D.C. They are ripping people off like that place is totally, completely corrupted. You know it and I know it. It's amazing how much, and people contempt. One minute they're saying one nice thing about it, the next minute they'll kill you. Anything for a vote or for a dollar. They're all for sale. In every area, corruption, completely. See, it's the frustration of the end times. I want to kind of stay in this teaching mode. And when you understand, and then death, different things are happening. Now, I wasn't concerned about China talking to big, bad China about, you know, if Pelosi comes over there, we'll shoot her down. No. And I said it on Flashpoint, I'll say it again. You slap a bully. You don't play games with a bully. Just slap it. Just hit it with everything you got. Well, let's hit him with the word of God. Hit him with everything we got. You see, because I'm going to tell you something. What Putin wants and what China wants, Putin wants to be the savior of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. He wants to put it all back together. But what you understand is, so he rattles his nuclear saber. Now, that's a joke.
Yeah.
Because, you see, when they start shooting him nuclear things, he's going down. He's going to die. And the people that he thought who's going to remember him are going to be dead, too.
So in other words, he loses everything that he thought he could gain in terms of legacy, because there will be none. And I'm going to tell you, 99.9999% will not do it. You see what I'm saying? And that's how you handle bullies. I never forget that. I was little. You know, people always pushing a little. And I had a friend of mine who was a little bigger than me. And he said, and this guy was really put. I was a kid. I was on in the fourth grade. He said, just walk up to him, just hit him with everything you got. And I did, boy, and I busted his nose, and it shocked him so bad that he never once bullied me again. I was shocked that I could actually hit that hard. But when you get enough is enough.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something about God. He's merciful, but you don't mess with him. Because
yeah, right.
By the time he finishes Noah's days, there's only 8 people left on the planet.
Yeah.
You don't play with him. 8 people. Think about that. He got rid of the corruption. He said, I got to wash this place clean. And then he cut another covenant with Noah. So it's the frustration of end time. I mean, I don't like it. Don't misunderstand me. But I realize, look up, my redemption draweth nigh.
Yes.
Write this down. You cannot continue to breathe bad air and expect your breath not to smell. I come up with some wild points, don't I? You cannot continue to breathe bad air and expect your breath not to smell. See, when those Australian guys were saying that stuff, their breath was smelling. They were breathing bad air. And now you find a lot of things, you know, you find them drinking here. How many times we went, they always wanted to go out, they wanted to go drink. Remember that guy? And me and Kat said, we don't do that. No, we don't do that. We did that before we were saved, but we didn't do that after we were saved. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep what I commit, and I commit my life to him. And I'm not just going around like a holy Joe. Don't misunderstand, but what I'm saying is I'm not going to do that. I'm not even tempted by that. I'm a new creation in Christ.
Yeah.
So I don't have any problems with a lot of stuff that a lot of people have. Because if Christ is in you, the hope of glory, I mean, well, I couldn't help myself. Now, you lying? You can help yourself. All you got to do is say no.
Yeah.
Pretty simple, isn't it? So you cannot continue to breathe bad air and expect your breath not to smell. So I decided I was going to live clean and holy. Now, some people may disagree with this, but I'm going to just say what I say. Since I'm born again and I'm saved by grace and I understand all that and I understand homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological thinking, and I know how to expository preach. I can preach like a Baptist. I can preach like a Methodist, Episcopalian, a Presbyterian, a Church of God, a Church of Christ, a Church of God, a prophecy in Christ. I've done the holy convocation. I mean, hey, I can do it. I don't mean that privately. But I want to tell you something. I started studying that law. And the reason why they couldn't keep it, because none of them were born again. Nobody was saved. None. They would put their sins on a scapegoat and send it out in the desert. How are you going to keep God's law if you're not born again? But I'm going to tell you, and some people will get mad about this. Today, because I'm born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, even though I'm saved by grace, I can keep the law. I can keep the law. I will have no other gods before me. I will not steal. I will not commit adultery. Why? Because I wouldn't live long enough to repent. Cat would kill me in a second. Look at her. She's waving her head. I wouldn't have a chance to repent. She said, Jesus, save me. Boom! And just blow my head off. I could keep that law. Because Jesus kept the law and the richer and ruler kept the law. He kept the law. He said, I've done it all for my youth. He said, you lack one thing. Go sell what you have. He didn't say give to his ministry.
Right. Right.
Jesus didn't need nothing. You lost. You missed that right there.
Come on.
You see, a broke man needs everything. Jesus wasn't broke. Because when he said, why don't you go ahead and sell what you have, join me, follow me, and, you know, and help us out on this ministry. I'll tell you something, I never wanted financial partners. When I went in the ministry, I didn't want no financial partners. Rodney, Brown, listen to me. I told the Lord, I don't want no financial partners. I said, listen, you gave me a good business mind. If you help me, I'll make enough money to shake. I'll pay for everything. And I thought God would tell me, Jesse, how humble you are and how sweet. But he didn't like that at all. He said, oh, you want me to take giving out the Bible? I said, well, no, I didn't say it. He said, well, why are we doing that? You want to take out healing too? Let's take out salvation. I said, forget what I said, Jesus. He said, I already did. Because he had partners in this ministry. Now, do you think God needs your money? No. But we need everything he has.
So I repented over that. The same, I said, okay. You know, and God's given me a pretty good business mind. I remember when I was a kid, I used to dream of making $100 million. If I could just make $100 million. You think it would last forever, $100 million. I've hit that many times. I don't mean that privately. And I thought, why? Because you see, Satan is controlling this place, so he sets the prices. When all that should have been yours. Because when God created this planet, there were no sinners. It was created for his family, us, his children. See, 120 years of building the ark was a sermon to the people of coming judgment, but they could not hear. Now, give me, I have prayed away more hurricanes than you can shake a stick at. I live in hurricane country, New Orleans, you know. But lately, I noticed that in the last maybe 10 years after Hurricane Katrina, which was 2005, I mean, we just pray, you know, and don't never say, Lord, if you live on the Gulf Coast or whatever, send it to Texas. Well, they don't want it. Or send it to Florida. They don't need it. Because if you do that, you're messing up the Weather Channel. Because they say it's going to Florida. Wait a minute. Wait. It's switching over and going over to Texas. Or it's going to hit Louisiana. Or they'll send it in Mexico. Or, you know, where there's a low population. So nobody wants those things. But I realized that as sin become more prevalent, those are destroyers. I had to correct the preacher one time. God sent that Hurricane Katrina to judge New Orleans. That's not true. That's a lie. Because why didn't God flood the French Quarter? That's where all the sin was. You know, there was no flooding in the French Quarter. So God didn't judge it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because it's still that when God judges them, Ichabod comes on the top of that and it's no more. So I noticed this. I began to have, I said, my God. And the Lord said, you're going to have to start protecting your area because fear is sucking those things in. See, fear. And a hurricane is a perfect thing to preach on. It starts off as a low pressure.
Yeah, sure does.
Then it turns into a depression. You know, when you get depressed, then it goes into what we call a tropical storm and into a category one hurricane, two, three, four, five, or whatever. So now when we see these things, I don't pray against them. I say, Lord Jesus, poke his eye out. You disturb that eye of a hurricane, it messes it up. I said, cause a wind shear and dry air to get in that thing to shut it down. And I protect everything you have and I have. Well, during Hurricane Katrina, we had preachers got mad at us because me and Kathy went and laid our hand on our trees. We have a lot of trees in our ministry. And, you know, we have beautiful oaks and things of that nature. You know, it's southern, you know. It's, and I don't want to lose my trees. People all around lost trees, busted up everything. I mean, and the Lord blessed us and helped us. But then things began to happen. I said, man, they became more prevalent. And it's not because of climate change. You see? No. People think that is. No, what's happening is sin is coming. See, the Jesus is coming, and the sin's being pressed down, and the principalities and the powers of the air are getting close to you. That's why you see smash and grab, stealing, killing, and nobody cares. 12-year-old kid will kill you a second today. Nobody knows how to handle that. And the church is still, well how are we going to fix that? You have to tell people. It's frustrating, but you know what? In the midst of Noah's days, the church can flourish.
Yeah.
Because the only saving factor that the world has is the church.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? See, the story of Noah and the flood is an illustration of man's thinking of everything else but God. Now, tell me if this don't sound right. Go with me to Luke chapter 17 real quick. Now, watch this. I'm going to read the point. The story of Noah and the flood is an illustration of man's thinking of everything else but God. Luke chapter 17. And if this don't sound like today, I don't know what does. Luke chapter 17. I want to read verses, let's start with verse 25. Verse 20 says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did it eat. We're doing that. They drank. We're doing that. They married wives. We're doing that. They were given in marriage. We're doing that. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, verse 28, they did eat. They drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. If that's not happening today, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying? We're in the days of Noah. And when this gospel is preached to the world, the end shall come. See, and we're getting very close to that. Now we have the technology to do it and not leave the house.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me what's going on. Now, I'm just stay simple here. And so, because so many people are frustrated. Yeah, but man, we struggle because your righteousness is rubbing against unrighteousness, which is causing friction. You see, Satan hates us. When he tempted Jesus, he said, all I want you to do is bow down to me once. Go read it in the Amplified. Luke 4. Once. You don't have to do it again. We in the desert. Anybody gonna know nothing? Do you know Satan offered Jesus everything he was believing for? He said, I got a kingdom. I heard your kingdom money. I got a kingdom. Let me show you. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. You know what I mean? That's the Roman Empire, the Babylonian Empire. He showed the British Empire. He said, they're all in my control, everything. All you got to do is bow down once. And I don't tell nobody, just between me and you. So in other words, number one, don't use the word of God for personal advantage. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. Why? Because you're already advantaged by the word of God. Number two, don't you associate with wicked people even for the attainment of a good end. Even though, bless God, they want to do something for your ministry. I've had people tell me that all the time. I said, no, y'all don't associate with wicked people even for the attainment of what I want to be. And then third one, never perform a godly act in a prideful spirit. They did that in the 1947 to the 1958 healing revival. They go cast out devils and say, what's your name, devil? Why do you need to know his name? Well, Jesus said, we are many for we are legion. Yeah, but I mean, they get the cameras to watch it. What's your name, devil? What street you live on in hell? See, that's performing a godly act in a prideful spirit. So you never use the word of God for personal advantage. You never associate yourself with wicked people, even for the attainment of a good end. And you never perform a godly act in a prideful spirit. They tried it to Jesus on the cross. Hey, you're the Son of God. You can have it. Once you take yourself off the cross, take us off, and everything will be fine. Jesus could have done that, but he didn't. Why? Because he doesn't perform godly things in a prideful spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? But as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall come. So when you understand, everybody's thinking of everything but God. But I've noticed now that because of all this stuff, I'm beginning to get asked questions in the mall. Kathy goes to the Chanel counter to get some makeup and different things. And there's some two ladies. They say, Reverend, your parents, while Kathy's picking whatever she's picking, you know. They'll say, do you think it's end times? I said, yes, I do. All of a sudden, they all come around me. I said, have y'all been going to church? We starting. I said, you don't go to church out of fear. You go to church to have some faith. Faith come by hearing by the word of God. Do you think Jesus is coming in our life? I said, I know he is. Do you know he is? I said, yeah. I said, how do you know? I said, because you're asking me. Man, I tell you what, man, it's amazing. I can get conversations going on anywhere when you start, because people are frustrated. They don't know what to do. And God will give you an opportunity to say things you never thought you would say. And I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. I had the honor of going to the Kentucky Derby last year. I've been wanting to go to the Kentucky Derby all my life. Not because I'm a gambler. I just like them horses. I mean, they're athletes. I just want to see them. They run. They're actually 3 seconds from a total heart attack, every one of them. That's why you don't see them stop real quick. You see them run. So slow that heart down, because they'll die. And they make them go almost halfway around the track before they turn them around. Because I'm going to tell you that they're at the point of no return. But I wanted to go. And I was invited by a wonderful friend of mine. And I don't realize how much that cost, because I didn't pay. But it's like $40,000 a person to go up where you see the finish line. You know where the post is? And, man, they're feeding us crab meat and anything you want. And I'm sitting next to this lady, and they all got these beautiful gowns on with beautiful hats. It's the Kentucky Derby. They're drinking mint juleps and whatever that is. I don't know. And I'm just looking at the horse. I want to see the horses. But I didn't know I was talking to the wife of the president of Churchill Downs. That's it. I'm just talking. She says, this is the first time you have to derby? Yeah. She said, oh, you betting? I said, no. I said, because I'd probably win. And she said, what? I said, then I'd have to look for a place to put the money, and I don't have time for that. And I'm serious. And she went, oh, okay. And they all just walking around. Kathy was with me. And to make a long story short, man, I didn't know that they run a lot of other races. Then they have what they call the running of the roses, which is the Kentucky Derby Day. And they sing my old Kentucky home, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So I'm sitting at the table, ladies and gentlemen. And the Lord spoke to me
at the Kentucky Derby. He said, you want to know who's going to win? I said, yeah. Now, I'm looking at all the sheep. I can't figure it all out. They got the horses with everything. I never seen that before in my life, you know. He said, Medina Spirit. He said, you can tell them. I said, hey, ladies and gentlemen, you want to know who's going to win this derby? And they looked at me, you know. And they respect you if you got a little white hair. I said, Medina Spirit. Oh, no, man. No, Medina Spirit not going to win. No, that's it. I mean, the odds of Medina Spirit. Well, I said, I'm telling you, God told me the Medina Spirit's going to win the derby. They said, who told you? Just like God told Kenneth to destroy my boots, I told him Medina Spirit would win that derby. That horse, it's never happened. That horse led from the minute it came out that gate. And the Medina Spirit won the Kentucky Derby. Watch, they turn around. Let me just, did you bet? I said, no. My God, you know how much money you could have made? Then they looked at me, are you coming back next year? I said, no. I said, maybe not. I don't know. I said, why didn't you bet? I said, don't need nothing. Don't want, didn't come here to bet. Now, I'm not going to anger anybody, do whatever they want to do. I'm just saying, I'm going to let my light shine. And I'm talking to the wife of the president of Churchill Downs. What do you do? I said, I'm a minister of the gospel. Oh, you're a preacher. I said, yes. Would you like to hear me preach? Oh, yeah. Say it. It was very nice. But once you tell them who won, they honor you. They just couldn't get over that I wouldn't bet. I said, well, I have all and I'm full. They said, what? I said, I have need of nothing. Nothing. They said, oh, man. One guy said, well, your God's good to you. I said, he's very good. What about yours? He said, I don't have one. I said, well, we can introduce you to one. The one. The holy one. But I did not know at the Kentucky Derby, they had several people in ministries that were there that were selling their books and tapes. The Derby allows that to happen in some places. They're on the Derby ground. And I met, hey, brother, are you good? I said, what are y'all doing here? They said, oh, they allow us to, you know, sell our tapes, talk about whatever. I said, isn't that amazing? So even everything going wrong, they still don't believe a word you say. It is frustrating to them, but I know that Jesus is coming. If God don't come get me, I go get him. Anyway, I'm going. And I say this all the time. I say, God, you got a perfect opportunity to come now. And I did say this to the Lord not too long ago. He said, if I came right now, people would go to hell. I said, they're probably going to hell anyway, so just come. I mean, you know, and I shouldn't have said that, but I mean, hey, I want Jesus to come. So when the Lord told me to go to the Derby, this is a point. You must exercise faith and conscience to assist you in wise decisions. So for me to understand how to make wise decisions, I have to be assisted by God. I must exercise my faith and conscience to assist me in wise decisions. Now, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. 99.9% of all decisions made by Jesse Francis Mitchell, I make them, me and Captain make them. Because the Lord told me one time, Alan always asked him just about everything. He said, Jesse, make a decision and I'll back it. I said, well, I don't want to make the wrong decision. He said, I promise you, you won't. I'll let you know. Make a decision and back it. He said, you know, it's like your mama teaching you how to tie your shoes. If she didn't teach you, you'd be 40 years old sticking your foot in your mama's lap and ask you to tie the shoe. Make a decision and I'll back it. So I do. So the other day, I wanted to really do some big television thing. Had the money to do it and the whole boy. And I said, I'm going to run with this. And the Lord went, I backed up. He said, not now. I said, okay. Why? He said, well, how be it when the Spirit of Truth has come? St. John 16:13, he will guide you in all truth. So I'm not looking to make a mistake because the Holy Spirit's a comfort. I'm looking to make a success, going somewhere to succeed. And when you talk like that, people say, who do you think you are? How much time you got? Sit yourself down. I got to start at Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created Jesse. He had me on his mind. So when I go do business, I use what I call gospel or godly phrases. I'll put on a blue blue pinstripe suit, you know, whatever. So you look a business partner. And God said, use godly phrases. And I said, okay. And I do that, and it opens up doors for me to speak the gospel in the midst of all this sin. And one time I was talking to a very well-dressed man. He said, well, you know, he says, I don't believe in your gospel because they hate people like me. I said, who told you that? He said, well, I'm a homosexual. I said, well, I don't hate you. He said, well, it's not my fault. I was born that way. I said, no, you wasn't. He said, yes, I was. I said, no, you were not. Now, I'll grant you this. You don't know. You may not know when you became a homosexual or how you became a homosexual, but you wasn't created one. He said, well, how do you know that? I said, because you can't create with a man. I said, you got to get something else to happen. You can't. And God made you in his image to be a creator. You can't do that. And I said, but I'm not here to judge you. I said, I don't doubt you're a very smart individual. I'll buy you lunch. You think I care if anybody sees me with somebody that they know is a homosexual? I'm going to let my light shine. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Why can't I be? Well, you don't want to get around that kind of stuff. I promise you, I will never fall into homosexuality. That is never going, that cannot, I don't see what they see in some hairy leg man, and that's all I'm going to say about that. That is not going to, that cannot happen. Let me go on with this message here. That is not going to happen. It can't. You must exercise faith and conscience to assist you in wise decisions. One of the vice presidents of Chase Bank, I'll never forget this many years ago, Kathy, who was in the mall going around Christmas time, he called and I had told Kathy, I said, just get what you want. I'm going home. Because she brings me to carry the bags. All I do is pay for stuff and carry bags, you know. I said, I'm kind of tired. I think I'm going to go home. She said, well, I'm not finished up. I said, okay. So I went home. And some of you have heard me say, felt love the Lord to say this. And I got a pair of pajamas that Kathy had been trying to throw away for a good 35 years. They're terrible. But I love them. They have no elastic, so you got to hold them when you... Because they're going down on you. They're going down on you, you know. But I like them old crazy pajamas. I just like them. I think y'all saw them, Jerry kicking them. You know, go! I said, don't tell Kenneth, he'll curse these pajamas. And I like them. I said, ugly. They're ugly sin. Well, Kathy calls me and says this. Jesse, I spend the bank here, wants to drop off a fruit basket of all the business we do with Chase Bank. She says, you think I'll tell him where we live? I said, Kathy, you know where we live? It's in the account. They know our money. They know. Oh, yeah, I never thought about that. But see, she gets in that shopping days. She had to get stuff. I said, okay. Yeah, bring him over. This is the biggest fruit basket I've ever seen. It looked like a coffin. I swear to God. It was from this man to about where this lady is. Oh, beautiful. Now, I got my pajamas on. I'm not going to change my pajamas. He knocked on the door. I open up my hole in the pajamas with my hand. I said, how you doing? He said, oh, how you doing, Reverend? I said, I'm doing fine. Merry Christmas. He said, Merry Christmas. He said, listen, I don't mean to bother. It's Christmas Eve. He said, we have a big fruit basket. Can you help me? I said, yeah. I said, I got to go outside. So I hold my pajamas like this. I walk outside. I said, get on the end of that coffin, and I get on this. And I had, as big as a coffin, I'm telling you. And walking in, bringing in the house like that. And I let this out, and wham, down they went. And I went, oh, excuse me a minute here. And I pull it.